Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Rabbi Avraham Goldar and today Masechet Sukkah, Daf Lamed, the third parak, Luv HaGazel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that the reason it's prohibited to use a stolen lulav on sukkahs is because it's a mitzvah hababa avera, a mitzvah that is brought about through doing an avera, which is based on the pasuk that lists stolen animals and lame animals that are unfit to be offered. Ma pesach leisle takansa, av gazel leisle takansa. Just as a lame animal cannot be repaired, as a blemish renders it permanently unfit to be offered, so too a stolen one cannot be repaired. Loshna lifnei yeush, loshna achi yeush. And it makes no difference if it's before the original owner has abandoned hope of retrieving it, or afterwards. Now, related to this, Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what's the meaning of that which is written, Ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat, sone gazel ba'ola, for I am Hashem, who loves justice, who hates robbery in an ola offering. This may be explained by means of a mashal of a king passing through a toll booth in his own country, who says to his servants to pay the toll. When they asked him what the point was, since all the revenue goes to him, he replied that all the travelers will learn from him by example that they should not try to avoid the toll. Similarly, Hashem says in regard to not wanting a stolen ola, Mimeni yimudu banai v'yavrichu atzmi nima gazel, let my sons learn from me, so they will distance themselves from theft. Pointing to the Gemara brings Rabbi Ami, who agrees with Rabbi Yochanan that one is not permitted to use a stolen ola because it's a mitzvah baba ver, but then brings a statement from Rabbi Yitzhak bar Nachmani, who said in the name of Shmuel, that a stolen lulav is only possible on the first day of Yontav. Avaba Yontav Shin Mitoshi Yotzi Bishawul Yotzi Nami Bagazel. But on the second day of the Chag and thereafter, the rule is that since a person can be Yotzi with a borrowed lulav, he can be Yotzi with a stolen one. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yitzhak bar Nachmani holds that the only reason a stolen lulav cannot be used on the first day is the Torah's requirement that it be his own property. Just as on the second day he may use a borrowed lulav, he may use a stolen one. And point number three, Rav Huna said to the merchants who sold the dal minim, that when you buy myrtle twigs to be used for hadassim, you should not cut them from the trees themselves, but rather let the nachrim cut the twigs and give them to you. The reason being, stam ov de kochavim gazlani arasin yinu. Nachrim generally steal the land on which the hadassim trees grow, but karka ain't in nixelis, but land cannot be stolen, meaning the land always remains the original owner's property, even if he abandons hope of recovering it. If the Jewish merchants themselves cut them from the trees, they'll be stealing them and they'll be unable to use them as a mitzvah. Therefore, they should let the Nachrim cut the twigs so that there should be Yeush Balim in the Nachrim's hands, Mishinui Rishus, and a change of jurisdiction when the twigs are placed in the merchant's hands. The twigs will then be fit for use for the performance of a mitzvah. The Gemara asks why this procedure was necessary. Even if the merchants cut the twigs from the trees, then there would be Yeush Balim in the merchant's hands and Shinui HaRashus in the buyer's hands. The Gemara answers that Rav Huna's ruling is necessary only regard to the twigs that were used for the merchant's own Hashana bundles. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that the reason it's prohibited to use a stolen lulav is because it's a mitzvah hababa avera, a mitzvah that is brought about through doing an avera, which is based on a pasuk that lists stolen animals and lame animals that are unfit to be offered. Ma pesach leisle takansa, av gazel leisle takansa. Just as a lame animal cannot be repaired, as the blemish renders it permanently unfit to be offered, so too a stolen one cannot be repaired. Loshna lifnei yeush, loshna l'achri yeush. And it makes no difference if it's before the original owner has abandoned hope of retrieving it or afterwards. Now, related to this, Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what's the meaning of that which is written, Ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat, sone gazel ba'ola? For I am Hashem who loves justice, who hates robbery in an ola offering. This may be explained by means of a mashal of a king passing through a toll booth in his own country who says to his servants to pay the toll. When they asked him what the point was, since all the revenue goes to him, he replied that all the travelers will learn from him by example that they should not try to avoid the toll. Similarly, Hashem says in regard to not wanting a stolen ola, Mimeni yumadu banai v'yavrichu atzma mina gazel, let my sons learn from me, so that they will distance themselves from theft. Pointing to the Gemara brings Rabbi Amu, who agrees with Rabbi Yochanan, that one is not permitted to use a stolen lulav because it's a mitzvah hababa avera. But then brings a statement from Rabbi Yitzhak bar Nachmani, who said in the name of Shmuel, that a stolen lulav is only possible on the first day of Yontav, avaba yontav sheni mitok sheyosi b'shawul yosi nami b'gazel. But on the second day of the Chag and thereafter, the rule is that since a person can be Yotzi with a borrowed lulav, he can be Yotzi with a stolen one. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yitzhak bar Nachmani holds that the only reason a stolen lulav cannot be used on the first day is the Torah's requirement that it be his own property. Just as on the second day he may use a borrowed lulav, he may use a stolen one. And point number three, Rav Huna said to the merchants who sold the dal minim that when you buy myrtle twigs to be used for hadassim, you should not cut them from the trees themselves, but rather let the Nachrim cut the twigs and give them to you. The reason being, Stam Ovde Kochavim Gazlani Arasin Yinu. Nachrim generally steal the land on which the Hadassim trees grow. But Karka ain't in Nixelis, but land cannot be stolen, meaning that land always remains the original owner's property, even if he abandons hope of recovering it. If the Jewish merchants themselves cut them from the trees, they'll be stealing them and will be unable to use them as a mitzvah. Therefore, they should let the Nachrim cut the twigs so that there should be Yeush Baim in the Nachri's hand. Vishinui Harishus, and a change of jurisdiction when the twigs are placed in the merchant's hands. The twigs will then be fit for use for the performance of the mitzvah. The Gemara asks why this procedure was necessary. Even if the merchants cut the twigs from the trees, then there would be Yeush Baim in the merchant's hands and Shinui Harishus in the buyer's hands. The Gemara answers that Rav Huna's ruling is necessary only in regard to the twigs that will be used for the merchant's own Hoshana bundles. All right, so now we go to Simmer Daf Lamed, and her standard simmon is a Melamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll got stopped by cops searching for stolen lulavim being used on the second day of Sukkot, while a nearby merchant instructed Nachum to cut Hadassim twigs before giving them to him. Once again, in slow motion. The Rebbe, that must be warned of, Lamed, Melamed. The Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmudim paid the toll, which reminds us that the source for a mitzvah of Baba Aber comes from a comparison in the Pasuk that links stolen offerings to lame ones, just as a lame animal cannot be repaired as the blemish renders it permanently unfit to be offered, so too a stolen offering cannot be repaired, and it makes no difference whether it's before Yeush or after Yeush. The more then brings the mashal of a king paying his own tolls to serve as an example to travelers to not avoid the tolls, with the nimshal being that Hashem wants Yidden to learn from him to distance themselves from theft. So the Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll got stopped by cops searching for stolen lulavim being used on the second day of Sukkot, which reminds us that the Gemara brings Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, who said in the Mishmo that a stolen lulav is only possible on the first day of Yantav. But on the second day of the Chag and thereafter, the rule is that since a person can be Yotze with a bold lulav, he can be Yotze with a stolen one. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani holds that the only reason a stolen lulav cannot be used on the first day is the Torah's requirement that it be his own property. Just as on the second day he may use a borrowed lulav, he may use a stolen one. So the Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll got stopped by cops searching for stolen lulavim being used on the second day of Sukkot, while a nearby merchant instructed Nachum to cut Hadassim twigs before giving them to him. Which reminds us of Rav Huna's guidance to the Dal Mini merchants regarding selling Hadassim, that they should let the Nachrim cut the twigs themselves, since Nachrim generally steal the land in which the Hadassim trees grow, but Karka ain't in Nixelis, but land cannot be stolen. This way, the Yeush Baim will be in the Nachri's hands, and then Shinui Rishus will be in the merchant's hands. So once again, the Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll got stopped by cops searching for stolen lulavim being used on the second day of Sukkot, while a nearby merchant instructed Nachum to cut Hadassim twigs before giving them to him. Alright, now it's time for a four-block back Chazora. Daf Chavav, so the similar Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The armaments on duty during the military coup? That must be more Daf Chavav. The army medics on duty during the military coup who carried the chol with a headache on a stretcher and were patur from mitzvah sukkah, which reminds us, the Mishnah had stated, chol mishamshem patur min sukkah. The sick and their attendants are patur from the mitzvah sukkah, and it was taught in a braisa, this applies to even a chol whose life is not in danger, afil chash be'enav, afil chash be'roshu, even if he merely has an eyeache or a headache. So the army medics on duty during the military coup who carried the chol with a headache on a stretcher and were patur from mitzvah sukkah, shouted into their bullhorn to wake up the soldiers dozing outside, which reminds us that the Mishnah had stated, "Ochin achilas arayi chutz l'sukkah." One may eat lightly outside the sukkah, and a brice was brought to taught, "Ochin achilas arayi chutz l'sukkah, ein yishen yishen is arayi chutz l'sukkah." One may eat lightly outside the sukkah, but one may not nap outside the sukkah. Ravashi said, "Gezer shem yiradem." The Rabbanim were gozer against napping, lest one fall into a deep sleep. Rava gave an alternative reason why one should nap outside the sukkah, in kvaloshena. There's no fixed minimum for regular sleep. That is, even light sleep has the halakhic status of regular sleep, because a nap can also refresh a person. So the army medics on duty during the military coup, who carried the chol with a headache on a stretcher and were patur from mitzvah sukkah, shouted into their bullhorn to wake up the soldiers dozing outside next to the sleeping horse. Which reminds us, Rav said, "Asal Adam Lisham B'yom Yosem Hashem Nesus." It's forbidden for a person to sleep by day longer than a horse asleep. And how long is a horse asleep? Shitz and Nishme, 60 respirations. Rashi explains that it's forbidden because of Bizzle Torah. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu, wishing great day and great learning. Dav Chav Zayin, so the Simmer Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo, that must be more Dav Chav Zayin. The boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo straight for the amount of time it takes to eat 14 su'udos, which reminds us, as Malkokas Rabbi Gazim the Chachamim, regarding how many su'udos one must eat in the sukkah based on the concept of teshukein teduro. Rabbi Yezer says one must eat 14 su'udos, since in one's house, he eats one meal during the day and one during the night. And the Chachamim say there's no fixed amount except for the first night, because they hold, in a house, if one wants to eat, he eats, and if he doesn't want to eat, he doesn't. So the boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo straight for the amount of time it takes to eat 14 su'udos, who then left the sukkah and went into a second sukkah to do it again, which reminds us, it's a Malkokas Rabbi Yezer and the Chachamim whether one can use two different sukkos based on the pasuk of Chagas Sukkos Tasel Chashivas Yamim. Rabbi Yezer holds one must erect a sukkah that is fit for all 7 days, and the Chachamim hold Ases Sukkah B'Chag, meaning if one only requires a sukkah for 1 day, he must erect a sukkah. So the boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo straight for the amount of time it takes to eat 14 su'udos, who then left the sukkah and went to a second sukkah to do it again, was immediately escorted home because he was told he must only play in a sukkah that was his family's possession. Which reminds us, it's a Malkos Reyes and the Chachamim, whether one can fulfill his chiyuv by dwelling in his friend's sukkah. Rabbi Yezer holds that just as a person does not fulfill his chiyuv to take a luv on the first day of sukkahs with his friend's luv, based on v'lakachta mochem, so too a person cannot fulfill his chiyuv by dwelling in his friend's sukkah, for it's written, Chagas sukkahs tasel chosh yivaz yamim. A chagas sukkahs you shall make for yourselves for 7 days, from which we derive mishalacha, the sukkah must be from your own possessions. The Chachamim say that one can fulfill his chiyuv in his friend's sukkah, for it's written, Kol ezrach b'Yisrael yesh b'sukkos. All the natives of Israel shall dwell in sukkos. The pasuk teaches Shekol Yisrael ruin leishah b'sukkah achas, that all of Israel are fit to sit in one sukkah. Rashi explains that the pasuk implies that the entire nation can fulfill their chiyuv by going into a single sukkah, one person after the other. Daf Chav Ches. So the symbol Chav Ches is a strong man, koach, a strong man. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more in Daf Chav Ches. The strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling over his heavy weights, which reminds us that it was Tana Brice at Hillel Zaken and 80 Talmudim, 30 of whom were worthy that the Shekhinah should rest upon them as it did on Moshe Benu, 30 of whom were worthy that the sun should stand still for them as it did for Yeshua ben Nun, and there were 20 who ranked in between them. The greatest of them was Yonas ben Uziel, and the least of them was Rabbi Yochim ben Zaken. After enumerating all the capabilities of Rabbi Yochim ben Zaken, that it says about Yonas ben Uziel that when he sat and learned Torah, any bird that flew over him was immediately burned. So the strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling all over his heavy weights, stormed past a group of women eating outside the sukkah, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why we need a halakha l'mushmi sinai to teach that women are putz from sukkah if it's a mitzvah zaseh shazman grama. Abai answered that it's needed as otherwise one might have thought, teshu kein teduro, the Torah's command, you shall dwell in sukkahs implies you should dwell in a sukkah the same way you dwell at home. Just as in a home a man and his wife dwell together, so too in a sukkah a man and his wife should dwell together. Rava said that halakha moshim yisina is necessary to exempt women from sukkah, for one might have thought that the gezer shava of chamishasar, the link sukkahs to Pesach, comes to teach that just as women are chayv and achilas matzah, even though it's a mitzvah zaseh shazman grama, so too they're chayv in sukkah. So the strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling all over his heavy weights, stormed past a group of women eating outside the sukkah and broke down the door only to find a little old man learning chumash and reviewing Mishnayos. Which reminds us, a Braisa describes how a person should make a sukkah dear as keva, such as bringing his nice kalim and beautiful linens to the sukkah, also states, Mishanin Basukkah. He analyzes his Torah learning in the sukkah. The Gemara asks if this is correct, since Rava said that reading chumash and reviewing Mishnah should be done in the sukkah, but analyzing the Torah can be done outside the sukkah. Rashi explains that the fresh air outside helps one have a clear mind. The Gemara answers that the Braisa is referring to reviewing material that he already clarified, whereas Rava is referring to new material. Daf Chavtes, so the Simur Chavtes is a cot. So here goes. As the empty cot, that must be more Daf Chavtes. As the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice that if one was eating in a sukkah and it began raining and he left the sukkah and continued his meal in his house, that even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back into the sukkah until he finishes his meal and wishes to eat another meal. Rashi explains that once he sat down to continue his meal, he's no longer chayev to return to the sukkah, even if it stops raining. And similarly, if one was sleeping in the sukkah and began raining and he left his sukkah and went to sleep in his house, even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back to the sukkah until it becomes light when dawn begins to break. So as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief, which reminds the Mishnah brought a mashal for when one is forced out of the sukkah because of rain. To what is it compared? To a slave who came to pour wine for his master, and he poured a pitcher of water on his face. The Gemara here brings a brice that clarifies that it's as if the master spilled a pitcher of water on the slave's face and said to him, I don't desire your service. So as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief who tried to sneak in and steal his lulav. Which reminds the opening mission of the third parak states, a lulav ha-gazel ba-yavish puzzle. A stolen lulav or a dry one is possible. The Gemara asks regarding a stolen lulav that it's understandable that on the first day of the Chag, it's possible because it's written lachem, you shall take for yourselves on the first day the dal of meaning, which implies mishalachem, they should be your own property. But why on the second day of the Chag should a stolen lulav be possible? Rabbi Yochanan said, name Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, mishum dehavli mitzvah hababa avera, because it's a mitzvah that's brought about through an avera. An object that's acquired through an avera is unfit for use in the performance of a mitzvah. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.